Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
The things that are said on this show that always land. It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max presented by Progressive Insurance. Got Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman together as he's shooting the dice all over the place at ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, also ESPNU and Sirius XM Channel 80. So I don't think we've been able to use the word optimism like this, Key, with the New York Jets in a long, long time, based on, after what Diana Rossini, ESPN NFL reporter, put on Twitter not even about an hour and a half ago, in the wake of extensive in-person meetings between Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets, including their owner, Woody Johnson, there's optimism in the Jets organization that they are on the brink of landing Aaron Rodgers. That's what sources close to the situation told Diana Rossini and ESPN.
The best word to describe the way the New York Jets feel about this, which is optimistic, right? So they felt that way, actually, before they even went out to California near Aaron Rodgers' house to meet with him, have dinner. Owner Woody Johnson went along with them. It was his private jet that they flew on. And they felt good before they went to visit with Aaron Rodgers because they've had conversations with him. They've had conversations with the Green Bay Packers as well in terms of the compensation. But from what I was told, it was really important for ownership to just get in front of Aaron and talk and just feel him out and see what the situation could evolve into. And I was told it went really well. And it was an exceptional meeting, and the Jets returned back to the New York area yesterday. And in the building, just having conversations with people there yesterday, they feel really good that they're going to be able to land the big fish.
In-person meetings always gets the deal done. Mm-hmm. It always gets the deal done. So flying out, seeing him, he gets a chance to look at you in your eyes. He gets a chance to tell you what he's feeling. You get sell him and tell him what you're feeling and how it's just a match made in heaven, and you could sell him. And that's what the Jets went out there to do. Now, Nathaniel Hackett obviously has a relationship with him.
Yep.
And I think maybe one or two people on that staff kind of have relationships with Aaron Rodgers from the past. But when you don't, you know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't really necessarily know Woody Johnson. Now you get a chance to sit there and chop it up and really see each other's vision and where things can go. And I've always liked you, and I've always wanted you. And you know, oh my God, I have the opportunity to get you now. What is it that we need to do? You know, here's what we're thinking. What are you thinking? What is your family thinking? All of those numbers and things are one thing, but then it's the real conversation that gets into your soul. And I've been in those conversations where I've gotten deals done because it was face-to-face.
Right.
And I've been in the room where we sat down. It was like, you know what? This makes all the sense in the world. You know, it's one of those deals. When I went to Dallas prior to being traded from Tampa Bay to Dallas, I knew Bill Parcells, but I didn't know Jerry Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Jerry. But having to sit in that room with Jerry.
Right.
And Jerry, you know, Jerry selling it to me.
I about to say, that must have been interesting.
I'm sitting there and I'm like, yeah, woo, this is getting ready to happen. And then you sign on, you're like, yeah, this is where I want to go. This is what I want to do. You know?
Yeah, you pointed out something, Key, that the Jets played perfectly if this is going to happen. You mentioned being in the room with the Dallas Cowboys and how Jerry Jones sold it because he appealed to what? Not just money, but to your vanity.
Yeah,
you got to know the room. And the Jets knew that, hey, if we're going to appeal to Aaron Rodgers, it can't just be about look what kind of team we have or being in New York. You want somebody, you want a big fish, you want to date somebody, you put your best self forward to what? Appeal to their vanity. There's no more of a vain player in the National Football League than a guy like Aaron Rodgers. The Jets spoke his language, and apparently that may be enough for him to say, I like having power in Green Bay, I like having money in Green Bay, but now I can get a new challenge and have that in the biggest market in the world, New York.
Just think of it this way, Hot Sauce. If Aaron Rodgers were to win a Super Bowl, I don't know, it's a Super Bowl. We're talking, that's hard to do. I get it. But just think, if he were to win a Super Bowl in New York.
Oh, brother.
In New York. Aaron Rodgers, where he is now, right, he'd be whatever, 8th, 9th, 10th, 12th best quarterback in the history of the game. He will now challenge Patrick Mahomes again as the best quarterback to ever play. And the reason I say this is because of everything that goes on in the tri-state. Ain't that what y'all call it back there, the tri-state?
The tri-state
everything,
area.
The tri-state area, the New York media, he'd be the best quarterback to ever play in New York, whether it was the Giants and Eli Manning winning two, or Sims or Rutledge or Joe Namath. He would by far be the best quarterback to ever grace the New York marketplace to win a Super Bowl. You know what that would do to him? Mm. It would take him to a whole nother level. Like just a whole nother level. That's what would happen.
And don't think for one second, by the way, he's Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPNU. Don't think for one second that does not appeal to a guy like Aaron Rodgers. Because with all the things that you just said, it's one thing to make your name with that storied franchise that are the Green Bay Packers. And you do what Bart Starr was able to do and Brett Favre was able to do. But to do it, that star-crossed franchise that has been the New York Jets, and you know this, playing for that team, I go back to 1998. To me, nothing against the Mark Sanchez years and what Rex Ryan did. That was as close to a Super Bowl team that the Jets had, the team you had in 1998.
I'm still eating.
Yeah, 10-0 lead in the second half on the road against the Denver Broncos when nobody thought that team was going to win. That was as close to optimism regarding a Super Bowl regarding any Jets fan you talk to, period. Now to have something like that, and if Aaron Rodgers is able to pull that off, he would not be able to walk down any street in New York ever again if he pulled something like that off.
He would, and you could, I mean, you're a New York guy in you know, the Long Island, Queens area, whatnot, grew up, born, raised, you know all the history about New York sports. I don't know as much history about the New York sports, but it feels like to me he might be the, if he was to win the Super Bowl in New York, he might be the most decorated sports star hero in New York, right? If he were to win a Super Bowl?
The only one, he would probably get on that Derek Jeter level when it comes to the New York Yankees, because other than really Babe Ruth, what he did, we're talking about a century ago with Babe Ruth, and they still talk about him.
Brother Babe, I wasn't around.
Right, and neither was I, but they still talk about him in hallowed way when it comes to him. Derek Jeter was able to get close to that status because he played for the New York Yankees. He always delivered in clutch moments. His name is going to be synonymous with New York sports.
But it's baseball versus football,
right? New York's a baseball town. It's still a New York Yankees town. It's a basketball city, but it's a baseball town. It's always going to be a baseball town, and it's always going to be a Yankees town. But you have somebody like Aaron Rodgers, for all that he brings with, and believe me, he's not just going to affect the New York area. He's going to affect that whole division, because all of a sudden now, if he goes to New York Jets, if you're the Buffalo Bills, how do you make sure your quarterback, Josh Allen, stays ahead of the New York Jets? How do you make sure that you're going to fortify that team? If you're the Patriots, what are you going to do? If you're Miami, what are you going to do? If Aaron Rodgers is able to be there and pull that off, that's not just going to affect New York City for a long, long time, Key. That's going to affect that division even in a short amount of time, because he pulled off the impossible, leading the Jets when he goes there, not an if, when he goes there, and leads them to a Super Bowl.
So if you're the shortstop of the New York Yankees and the quarterback of, let's say, the New York Jets, and you're Aaron Rodgers, and which one is more celebrated? I guess the shortstop of the Yankees would probably be more celebrated, right? Because it's done more and won championships at that position, where the Jets' only really quarterback was Joe Namath. But Aaron Rodgers comes with something. Like, he's got a unique mystique about his aura, about who he is. This whole, like, I don't buy into it because I'm from California. I know the, you know, this stuff.
I get it. I understand.
All right, so I don't get caught up in the going into a cave and, you know, drinking kale juice. And I don't get caught up in all that.
Right.
So people on the outside, they do. And it becomes fascinating because of how Aaron Rodgers speaks. And everything is so zen, and everything is going to be relaxed. And I see it every single day. Hell, when I leave here and go home, I'm going to walk into candles. I already know what's going on. So, you know, I wonder how he would be viewed in the New York sports scene and world if he was to win a Super Bowl.
He would go to the top of the list, number one. Number two, it reminds me that, nothing against Green Bay, but if he wins a world championship with the New York Jets whenever he's traded there, that's going to be seminal compared to what he did in Green Bay, because no one thought he could pull it off with the New York Jets. It's a lot like, remember when Reggie Jackson, when he left the Oakland Athletics to go to the New York Yankees, he really made his name in New York,
even though he won as many championships with Oakland. But people remember Reggie Jackson more for being the star that stirred the drink in New York and the three home runs in Game 6.
I know him as a Yankee. Right. I don't know him as an A.
Exactly.
I saw him as an A, but I know him as a Yankee.
Right, and that's where he made his name. If Aaron Rodgers pulls this off, he's going to be seen more as a Jet in future generations because of doing that in that city for that star-crossed franchise than all the great years he had in Green Bay.
And that's kind of with my own career. I guess I got drafted by the Jets. Like you said, we were so close. Even though I won a Super Bowl with Tampa, I feel like
People know you were as a Jet, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My allegiance is really the New York Jets, so to speak. I don't know why. Maybe because, I don't know, I did something that nobody would come in New York and do. With my attitude and my swag way back then, nobody was swagging like me in the 90s, man. It wasn't there. I ain't going to lie. As they say, I ain't even going to front. I was that dude.
And you did you did it from the wide receiver position that had never been done before. Quarterbacks did it. Lawrence Taylor did it as a defensive lineman. You did it from that position
with a different type of attitude. When he comes in there, and if he was to win a championship, I was starting to think about the quarterbacks that played for the Giants. I'm like, Aaron Rodgers is way more decorated than them. Yeah. And if he wins a chip, oh, my goodness.
Even if he gets them to the Super Bowl, if he even does that, that'll placate a lot of Jets fans because they've only been to one in Super Bowl III. Only one. That's over 50 years.
Pizza for life.
He can have whatever. He can have beef patties. He can have pizza, hot dogs, whatever that's going to be.
As long as he don't get a hot dog off the street corner, I ain't with that.
Not with the water dogs? Not for you?
No, I don't see how people do that, but that's so.
Man, they make so much. Those trucks make so much money.
I get it, Freddie. But you know, being out there, living out there,
as a dirty water dog connoisseur, believe me, I know they make a lot of money.
I seen them rats running the streets at 3 a.m. in the morning, man.
Yeah. Let's not even talk about that. He's Keyshawn Johnson and Freddie Coleman on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPNU. We have not forgotten about Lamar Jackson because right now he's still in limbo as well, what his future is going to look like. What team could be the best real option for him going forward?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. He's Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPNU. And don't forget to tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. It's time to take it or shake it. It's one or the other. There's no in-between. Brought to you by Granger, and also brought to you by Shannon Penn.
All right, here we go. Take it or shake it. Give me your hot. I'm gonna give you a hot take. You gotta tell me if you're with it or not. Easy enough. All right, Key. I'm gonna start with you. The Miami Dolphins should do everything they can do in their power to get Lamar Jackson. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take that.
Took it.
Yeah, of course they should. Look, he's been injured the last couple years at the end of the season for the most part. Okay, he missed time last year, this past season, and into the playoffs, but I'd rather have an injured Lamar Jackson and know that it's not long-term. opposed to messing around with Tua and not knowing if he's going to be in and out of the lineup week to week. It makes all the sense in the world, that dynamic speed that Lamar brings to the table along with Waddle and Hill. He's from the area. Why not go all in on it? If you can get it done, get it done. Yeah. You've been looking for a quarterback for the last however many years since Dan Marino.
Complete 100%. Take it, take it, take it. Because if you're the Miami Dolphins, in modern football where the NFL is second by second and you get a chance to land a guy like that where you don't have to worry about any kind of worrying about if he's going to be there in terms of concussions and everything like that, I think you'd be foolish not to look into that if you're the Miami Dolphins. That is a 100% take it going after Lamar Jackson.
All right, Key, my New York Giants made a mistake giving Daniel Jones $160 million. Take it or shake it?
Shake it!
Shake it! Shake that. Shake
Shooken.
That.
You know, I think they did the right thing, giving him $41 million a year, $82 over the first two. It was a $32-plus million franchise tag. You bumped it up a little bit. That is what they got to be at the top of the market. That's just the reality of it. He didn't have much to work with. Yeah, he only threw 15 touchdowns, but was that by design? Or was it because of him? When you don't have receivers and skill position players to help you out, you're going to throw 15 touchdowns. He led him to the playoffs first year under Brian Daboll. You certainly did the right thing by giving it to him. And if he's no good in 3 years, you can part ways.
Yeah, shook, shake it when it comes to Daniel Jones. And to your point, Key, he threw 15 touchdown passes with those no names on the outside. If you get him a couple of dudes, because he did that with number twos and number threes. He didn't have a number one. You get him a number one to go with that running game because Saquon Barkley is going to get his money too. All of a sudden, you really got something to combat things in that division. You're still behind the Philadelphia Eagles, but you got to give your quarterback a chance. I'm with you. Shake it on that deal. If you didn't give it to him, somebody else would have given Daniel Jones the kind of money he was looking for.
All right, Key, Dak Prescott needs another star receiver on offense to get the Cowboys to the Super Bowl. Take it or shake it?
Take it.
Take it.
Think
take
about
that.
It, Shannon. Look at the teams that played in the Super Bowl. Or look at the teams that made deep playoff runs. They didn't have just one receiver. They had two. CeeDee Lamb can't be the long ranger out there. They made a mistake, and they admitted it by getting rid of Amari Cooper. They probably did it too early. But you go and you try to get a DeAndre Hopkins. You try to go get a Keenan Allen or a healthy Michael Thomas if it's available to you. You go and you do that, and you pair him with CeeDee Lamb, and you allow Dak Prescott to develop and show something. Look what Jalen Hurts was able to do, okay? He had Devontae Smith, and he had A.J. Brown. Look at Kelsey, and look at the plethora of receivers that Kansas City had for Patrick Mahomes. When you talk about that, that is what you have to think. You can't have one dude out there running by himself. You're not going to get anything accomplished.
Yeah, completely take it. More than ever before, if you believe in Dak Prescott and you sign into that contract, then it just can't be CeeDee Lamb, as talented as he is. But we've seen what other teams have been able to do where you try to wall off one guy, another guy can step up. They're hoping that Michael Gallup was going to do that. Michael Gallup may be just what he is, a guy that can catch those passes down the field but not be that Alvin Harper to the Michael Irvin that you had there with the Dallas Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb. So right now you don't have that Alvin Harper on your team. You got to go out and find that guy. So I'm with you. That's a complete take it. Take it or shake it here on Keyshawn, Jalen Max on ESPN Radio. We got Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman. And once again, here's Shannon Penn.
All right, take it or shake it, Key. Jordan Love can lead the Packers to the playoffs in year one. Take it or shake it?
Take it.
Take it.
Take
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think he take can it. Because of the division. When you look at Detroit, they're the top team right now, probably going into the offseason if Aaron Rodgers isn't the quarterback there and he's in New York with the Jets. You know, Justin Fields is still trying to figure things out in Chicago. He's young. So when you look at it, you have to say to yourself, the Minnesota Vikings, okay, they got a new situation going on there on the defensive side of the ball. I think he can do it. I honestly do.
I'm going to say shake it. Until I actually see him actually do it, I'm not buying that with Jordan Love. Does he have talent? I don't think there's any doubt about that, but there's still doubt because we have not seen him be the dude. He's been waiting to be the guy. He's been waiting to be the dude. But until he's actually out there, you got two teams that right now are in front of that team. The Detroit Lions and the Minnesota Vikings, Key, like you said, when it comes to the Vikings, even though they're not going to win all those one-score games that they won in 2022. So until Jordan Love is out there and used to having everything being thrown at him, being part of the game plan, I'm going to shake it about him taking the Green Bay Packers to the playoffs in his first year as a starting quarterback.
All right, take it or shake it, Key. The Las Vegas Raiders should shine. Wow,
Well, they're trying to been shining since 1983.
The Las Vegas Raiders should sign Jimmy G. Take it or shake it.
I don't think they should, because Jimmy G still believes he's a starting quarterback in the National Football League. And what I mean by that, not a stopgap guy, not just an interim situation. I think they should sign a guy like a Jacoby Brissett. Draft a guy, learn behind Jacoby Brissett, because Jimmy G wants to be a starter. He still thinks in his mind he's a starting quarterback. I don't think Jacoby Brissett is sitting there saying, I'm a starting quarterback. I think Jacoby Brissett realizes if he does anything, it's going to be a short-term situation to get a guy up to speed, to teach a guy, where Jimmy G still feels like, yeah, these teams want me. Carolina wants me. The Raiders want me. Mm-hmm. I can be a starter. That's why I don't think they should sign him.
I'm going to say take it. They should sign him, because I'm not trusting Jarrett Stidham. I don't care what he did the final part of the regular season. Jimmy Garoppolo is a better option for the Las Vegas Raiders, because the guy they really want is maybe about to be a New York Jet, and that's going to be Aaron Rodgers. And Jarrett Stidham, that's a guy that should be a career backup. He's only going to be as whatever that's going to be. At least Jimmy Garoppolo has had a proven track record of being a successful starting quarterback with an offense that believes in him. And he was playing pretty well for San Francisco before he got injured. So if I'm the Raiders and he's out there and he's going to be, I think that's a take it, that they should sign up with Jimmy Garoppolo.
The reason I think Jimmy Garoppolo – see, Jimmy wants to be a starter. He wants to be a 3-4-year starter. He doesn't want to be a 1-year guy, give way to a young quarterback. The Raiders need to draft a guy in their slot, move up maybe, take a guy, develop him, give a guy like Jacoby Brissett that knows the system, was in New England with Josh McDaniels and company, and kind of knows that you don't have to spend a whole lot of money, because Jimmy Garoppolo is still going to want a bunch of money, because the Carolina Panthers are going to be looking at him. And there's other teams that are going to be looking at him as a starting quarterback. And so he'll be looking to get paid. You don't have to do that with Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett could just be a teacher, so to speak. That's why I think they should sign him.
Yeah, and well, especially with the Las Vegas Raiders, their coach could be in the hot seat, because there's still a question about Josh McDaniels actually being the guy of the Las Vegas Raiders. That's something else that could add to whoever they decide a quarterback, with Jarrett Stidham, another free agent, or somebody in the NFL draft. With Keyshawn Johnson, I'm Freddie Coleman on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Thanks to Supplies and Solutions for every industry. Granger has the right product for you. Call or click Granger.com or just stop by. Even though he's injured and he may be on the shelf for more than a minute, are the Suns still the team to beat in the West in the NBA? That's on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
On a perfect day, I can count on you.
It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
And that's not possible. Tell me when you will know.
on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Don't forget about us on TuneIn and ESPNU, presented by Progressive Insurance. He's Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman. Let's bring all that rain down where we got Championship Week happening and Selection Sunday happening 3 days away. ESPN basketball analyst Corey Alexander, he joins us here thanks to Wendy's, 2 for $6, the best deal in fast food. Corey, number one, you and Wes Durham been knocking it out with the ACC Basketball Championship Tournament that's happened so far, so kudos to you. Keep up that great work. Number two, you were there yesterday when Syracuse lose the Wake for us, and then Jim Boeheim announced that he was not going to return for a 48th season. What do you think is going to be the legacy of Jim Boeheim?
Well, let's start with, I mean, y'all going with Can You Stand the Rain early in the morning. Like, I mean, respect to both of you for that. Let's get it started off with that from the jump.
That's Allen Yates on the ones and twos.
I mean, I see that. Jim Boeheim's legacy is set in stone. I mean, he's the guy. He's been at Syracuse for 60 years when you consider as a player, as an assistant coach, and then 47 years on the sideline. Won a national championship actually 20 seasons ago with the best ever one-and-done freshman, Carmelo Anthony. And he's established something in a place. And let's face it, Syracuse is no destination spot.
Right.
To be able to build New York's greatest college basketball program – in Syracuse, New York, if anything defines Jim Boeheim's legacy, is just that. You go back to the making of the Big East, how dominant they were in the Big East, the rivalry between Georgetown and Syracuse, which in my opinion is the best college basketball rivalry of all time, especially when you go back to the 80s and 90s. But then what he's been able to do in changing with the game for 47 years, Jim Boeheim is a legend, an icon in the college coaching ranks. And I'm looking forward to seeing what my guy Red Autry does moving forward.
And Corey, as I start to fill out my bracket, who should I be looking at? Like, who should be number one? Like, where do my ones come from?
Your ones come from, I believe, Kansas has done the job this year to where they should be a one. Houston is absolutely a one. And I'll give Purdue a one, even though I don't think the Big Ten is as strong as everyone gives it credit for being. I'll give Purdue a one. And then when you look at that fourth one, there are a number of teams out there. What Arizona did in the non-conference schedule, going out and winning the Maui Invitational, you know, I think they should get consideration. There are a number of teams for that fourth one in the mix. But, you know, it's hard to tell right now. I think the field is wide open. I don't think that there's any dominant team. Everybody talks about my league, the ACC. Mm-hmm. They say there are no elite teams in the ACC. There are no elite teams in college basketball.
True.
You have somebody who does not have at least four losses. Kansas lost three games in a row in Big 12 play. That's not elite. And I think they're a great team. I take nothing away from Bill Self and the job he's done, but I don't think there's any elite team in college basketball this season, which makes the field wide open when we get to March.
No doubt about that. Corey Alexander, ESPN basketball analyst. Hit him on Twitter, Corey Alexander VA, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio with Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman. Last year, Miami was a sneaky team, Corey, that got to an Elite Eight. And this year, they could do it again because their two guards, Wong and Pack, are no joke with that team. But I'll give you a sneaky team I think it can make an Elite Eight run, and I think that's Texas A&M out of the SEC. What other sneaky teams could be this year's Miami, in your opinion?
This year's Miami can be a team like North Carolina State. You talk about two guards. You look at what Jarkel Joyner and Taquavion Smith are able to do, and then the big fella, the dancing bear, DJ Burns.
Yeah.
If you saw the performance they had in the ACC tournament, you know, last night, it was spectacular. Now, they've got to play Clemson today, a team that they have lost to twice. Between Clemson, Pittsburgh, and Duke, I haven't seen the disrespect that you would see normally from in college basketball, but those teams have been disrespected. But North Carolina State is very good, and you go back and you look at they played Kansas to a two-point game in a neutral site in the Bahamas earlier this year. I think Kevin Keats and his group has an opportunity to be that type of team when we get to the tournament.
Corey, you'll be part of the crew calling the Grizzlies-Mavs games on ESPN Radio Monday night. And obviously, you've been around the league for quite some time. You have a pulse on the league, and you know what's going on behind closed doors and inside and all the different stuff. What you think about the Ja Morant situation going on in Memphis?
Well, Key, let me start with this. And again, you know, you carried that banner as well as anyone ever has. But you understand that, of course, where we most of us come from, growing up, this, that, and the other, we have a surrounding. We have a group of people that we bring along with us. I don't know if that's necessarily the case with Ja Morant. I think many of these may be new friends. I don't think that these are guys that came up with him in South Carolina. These are guys who are new friends who have, you know, kind of attached themselves to him during his time of fame. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, I know T. Morant pretty well. T. Morant is a great guy. Ja's parents have done a great job of raising him. But I think that at some point, Ja has tried to be someone that I don't think he really is. Wow. And I think what's going to happen is he's going to revert back to being who Ja Morant really is. I believe that this situation is going to be, you know, rectified relatively soon. I believe Ja will get back to playing basketball and in the manner that, you know, he should be. And we also know that when it's a guy who's on top, things get magnified. You know, I mean, again, and I understand that Ja made a bad decision. I take that. But, you know, what happened in this scenario, I don't believe that he took the gun with him to Denver. I think that will be rectified very soon. So I don't think there's going to be any punishment from that. I honestly don't believe, in my opinion, that it was his gun. You know, and so when you think about that, again, I think it was someone who was with him in his camp. And he made a bad decision by hitting that button to go on IG Live because, let's face it, Key, if he don't hit that button to go live, none of this is an issue. And, again, but something good will happen from this because it's a wake-up call for Ja.
Real quick, you got about 30 seconds left. What do you think about the injury to Kevin Durant and affecting the Phoenix Suns going forward, Corey?
Freak injury. I saw it. Was unexpected. But Key will tell you, certain things kind of happen to you. You get a little older. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of have to wrap a little more bubble wrap around yourself, be a little more careful with things. But, you know, Phoenix will be fine, but they need Kevin Durant to be a contender in the West.
Man, what the hell you mean I can tell you? I'm young, man. What's sure. on me? I'm good.
Sure. You young off the field, Keith. You young off the field. Yeah. I saw the end. You know, I'm a Cowboys fan. I saw the end. I was with you, brother.
Corey, believe me, you can be young in the head, but you're not young trying to get out of bed every morning. Believe me. Don't let Keith try to fool you when it comes to that, my friend. Believe that.
I know that feeling, Freddie. I know that feeling well.
I always appreciate you, Corey, man. Keep with the great work. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot, my man.
All right, man. Safe travels.
Thank you, guys.
Great stuff. Corey Alexander, ESPN basketball analyst. Like we mentioned him on Twitter, Corey Alexander VA. And don't forget about the college basketball season. We got Selection Sunday, only 3 days away. That means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of the Wooden Award nominees to watch as this season rolls on. By the way, Corey Alexander will be part of the ACC tournament. Coverage begins at 11:30 Eastern time on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. With Keyshawn Johnson, forever young. I'm Freddie Coleman, forever old. On Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. And Aaron Rodgers could be on his way to play for the New York Jets. Would that make the Jets not only a team to beat in the AFC East, but maybe the AFC? This is ESPN Radio and ESPNU.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Girls in game, you the years of loving shame. Singing out with a melody.
When did this show, Graham, become Jodeci Radio?
It's just something about that, man, Freddie. Yeah. It's just something about it, dog.
I get it.
You know, I'm hitting up the Legacy Tour with all the boys and New Edition and Guy and everything. Nice. They're having it. Oh, man.
Make sure you don't cross Aaron Hall. Just Google that for those who don't know here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. He's Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, 6X and Channel 80, and ESPNU. We're going to do a little scoot versus slide. After we talk about Aaron Rodgers maybe scooting and sliding his way out of Green Bay to go to the New York Jets, courtesy of this optimism in the Jets organization that they're this close to bringing Aaron Rodgers out of Green Bay. ESPN NFL insider Diana Rossini put on Twitter about 2 hours ago, hit on Twitter, Diana ESPN, that after the in-person meeting between Aaron Rodgers and the Jets organization, including their owner, Woody Johnson, Key, there's optimism more than ever before that the Jets organization, that they can land Aaron Rodgers and have him leave Green Bay, compensation, draft choice, whatever that's going to be, but they feel a lot closer that that's going to happen instead of being farther away.
Absolutely, in person. We're going to see you in person. You know how hard it is? Think about it, though, Freddie. Think about how hard it is to say no to a successful billionaire. Think about how hard that is to say no. Like, he wants to give you something.
Right.
You're giving him something, but he's going to give you something in return. He's going to give you a contract, but he's also going to talk to you about your opportunity in the city. And you sit back there and you just be like, yeah, I just remember going through this, you know, when I went from Tampa Bay to Dallas and having to sit in Jerry Jones's living room, his office. He was in his office at his house because we moved from the living room to the office and got the trophies behind and all the different stuff. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, damn, I'm sitting talking to Jerry. You know, I'm like, and it's just hard to say no. It's like, because everything he's telling you, it just sounds so good. You know? It just sounds good. It just sounds good.
It appeals to your vanity. And that's what anybody would want, to feel, not feel validated, because that's not the right word, Key, and not to feel wanted, but to feel that you matter, that this organization needs you, and you know what? You're going to make us better as an organization.
You got a billionaire begging you. He's essentially begging you. You have prompted him in his team of people to get on his private plane to come fly and see you.
Okay.
He didn't say, hey, we got a ticket on Southwest.
Right.
We want you to fly to come see us.
Right.
No. They came to see you. You didn't even have to leave. You feel good.
Yeah, because I guarantee you the Jets flew everybody out there. If they could have put Joe Namath on that plane, Fireman Ed, if they could have done that, they probably would have. Just to make sure that Aaron Rodgers would feel, hey, this is why we want you. We're bringing everybody for a full court press. And unlike what the New York Knicks did with Kevin Durant, this might actually work for the New York Jets, getting the guy that they want, that they waited for, and why they did not decide to give a contract offer or put one on the table with somebody along the lines of Derek Carr.
No, and it probably will work, to be honest with you, especially given the fact that when you listen to what Diana Rossini had to say and all of that about where the optimism is and how they've gone about doing things, you certainly listen to her because she knows.
Right.
She's dialed in. This isn't somebody just throwing it against the wall and hope it stick. She's not going to put something out there, even though she might have been on the plane with him. She might have been on the plane with him, and she ain't even going to tell you. But she knows what's getting ready to happen in Archer Park. She knows.
Yeah, no doubt about that. By the way, this has all the makings of this happening before the weekend in terms of a deal that could be in place. That's just my hunch regarding the New York Jets landing Aaron Rodgers and what compensation Green Bay is going to get in return. And you mentioned Diana Rossini. He's Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. It became a situation, scoot versus slide, with Diana Rossini when she was on this program about 2 hours ago. I'm going to center this now to Alan Yates and Shannon Penn, because what happened in terms of being on the show, Alan Yates, and how scoot and slide developed out of that?
So to take us a little behind the scenes a little bit, you know, Pat is over in TV, and he's like, yo, like, tell Diana scoot over a little bit so she's centering the shot.
Pat Costello, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
Yes.
So instead of Pat saying scoot, I believe he said slide, right? So my thing to Diana was, yo, can you scoot to your right real fast? So she scooted, you know, little bunny hop, boom, 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 got to the middle where she needed to be. So then Shannon's like, so what constitutes a scoot versus a slide? Like, how many scoots do you get before you have now made a slide?
I didn't realize it was a and scoot to slide ratio.
Like 3 to 5.
A scoot, your ass has to come up off the seat.
Oh, great.
And that's exactly what I said. You got to be a little
so
bit,
you got to be able to, you know, do that. You got to be able to kind of.
Yeah. So if you got a badonkadunk, that could be a problem with the scoot ratio. That's what you're telling me here.
Clap.
No, I'm not saying that.
No, I know Alan's saying that. Not you. Alan's saying that.
Oh, okay. Because I'm just saying you got to be able to get up and move over like that.
Right.
A slide. You just slide.
Remember the scene in Fresh Prince when Will was in the classroom?
In the classroom. Yeah, he gets close to Garcelle Bouvard.
That's a scoot. That's a supreme scoot.
That was going to come 100% scoot.
That's a pro scoot.
What if you're attempting to slide, but it's a short slide? So then does that fall into the category? Does that mix with the Venn diagram there of the scoot territory?
As long as you don't have to lift your hips up off whatever you're sitting on,
right.
you are sliding.
Yeah.
The moment you lift your hips up, you're
scooting. That's a scoot. Yeah, I'm kind of with Keyshawn on that.
Yeah, because I feel like you can only slide on like them big benches. You
right.
Because you can't.
Or if the chair has wheels.
Then I don't know if you want to scoot because you're going to scoot and fall.
Well, if you scoot on a chair with wheels, that's viral because you're going to fall. You're going to bust your behind.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's why you're sliding.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, anything where you don't have to lift up your hips.
Yes.
Now, you're sliding.
Now, if your hips are big, good luck to you.
Man, I ain't got nothing to do with the people built like that, man. That's not my issue.
You know what I also noticed, too? When you use the term scoot, it doesn't mean that you're inviting. It's usually someone going away when you're scooting away.
Yeah, you're scooting. If you're sliding, it feels like more of a move.
Sliding is a move.
Right. If you're scooting, it feels like an invasion.
But if move over.
As I say, Yates, many times when I'm trying to watch the games at a bar and somebody slide up underneath me,
right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like back up.
Right.
You don't need to be, hey, girl, I'm married. Watch out. You don't need to slide up underneath me. I'm watching the game.
Because if you tell her move, that's like, all right, now I got to move my whole body away from you. That means if we sit on the love seat, and I tell you to move, you got to go to the small chair, for sure.
Well, here's something else when it comes to scooting or sliding. You got to make sure you do it properly, because if you don't, then all of a sudden people are giving you the face like a Scooby-Doo villain, and that's the last thing you need.
Your slide has to be graceful. You got to end, pretty close to
when you tell somebody move over, move over is kind of aggressive.
It really is.
Slide over is like, you just want them to move just a little, slide over just a little bit. I still want you underneath me.
Right.
But move over is like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You got to get on the other side.
Move over. Move over is a little aggressive.
Scoot over. Scoot over. Yeah,
What do you do?
Nuno, what do you do? We need to judge on this one.
It's sliding. The scoot is that little physical bunny hop type
stuff.
Slide is just that smooth type
It's graceful. It's majestic. Exactly.
Yeah, because in the end, you don't scoot in somebody's DMs, right? Yeah,
no,
you slide in them.
And if anybody would know.
Listen, success rate in the DMs, 99.8%.
If anybody would know about a scoot slide ratio in the DMs, it'd be Alan Sharpton Yates. Oh, my God. You got a PhD in that kind of thing.
Lord have mercy.
Greeted with Mike Greenberg comes your way next. For Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman, this has been Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, scooting and sliding on the mighty ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.